Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So, please, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen, amen. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Well, if you brought your Bibles, once again, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 12 through 19. Let's prepare the screen right up here. Praise God. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Judgment to Begin at the House of God. Judgment to Begin at the House of God. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, let me just share this real quick before we get into our study. Last night, our men's Bible study, we went on a field trip, and we went to the AMC Theater in Otay Ranch to see a profound movie called Come Out in Jesus' Name. And we were all just awestruck with this. A lot of people from many churches came out that evening. It was playing just one night, and it was all about deliverance. It was all about spiritual warfare, about casting out demons in people. And let me just say this. For those of you that don't believe that's real, look at our world today. If we're not under spiritual attack and spiritual oppression, then you're missing the mark. But there needs to be more ministries raised up by God that will not be afraid of what Jesus taught, that we learn in His Word. I'm going to say 75% of His ministry for 3.5 years is what He did that was so profound, so miraculous, is that He would always be casting out demons. Oh, that's right. He was always rebuking the devil that would oppress and possess people. And I truly believe this whole nation is under spiritual oppression, and it's being taken over to all the ungodliness that we see. So I'm going to try to tie this Bible study in tonight, that we are living in these times, and this is why we need the church. Now, the title is, let me just go back to the title here. The title of this is Judgment to Begin at the House of God. Let me just say this. It's not about us being judged. We already were judged at the cross as believers. We've repented of our sins, praise God, and we were washed in the blood. We were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and now we're heaven bound. But what this means, judgment to begin at the house of God, we're going to look into this study and get more clarity. It's basically growing in the grace, and that God would correct us in certain areas in our life that need to be corrected so that we could continue to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Praise God. So let's get into our study, and let's just have the Holy Spirit have His way with us. So are we there? 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's start with verse 12. And here we go. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you also, look at this, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Praise God. And their part he is blasphemed. Look at this. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Praise God. Verse 17 through 19. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. There it is. That's where I got my topic. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? That's a great rhetorical question. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing? So, let's go to our first verse to break down, and it's found in verse 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's what? Sufferings. Sufferings. That when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. Wow. That sounds almost like a contradiction, but it's not. You see, saints, Christians not ought to be surprised at the fiery trials that you and I are going through. And like Christ, Christians should expect to face persecution. Oh, yes. I got word to back that up. If you're not facing persecution, maybe something's not corrected in your life or in order. But look what the Bible says in James 1, 2, and 8. Look at this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Look at this in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Look at this in verse 6, 7, and 8. But let him ask in faith, praise God, with no doubting. No doubting, praise God. For, look at this, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wow. Wow. You see, we are going to face fiery trials. And we're going to be tried. But the bottom line is, are you allowing and willing to allow God to correct us? Sometimes God will use the enemy to bring forth the things that God's trying to accomplish in our life. Praise God. Look what else I found here in the book of Romans. Look at this in Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Praise God. But look at this. And not only that, but we also glory in what? Tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Who has given to us? Praise God. God, praise God. You see, saints, this was not something that strange persecution had followed the gospel in the time of Jesus' crucifixion. No. Believers should expect persecution and suffering because they are part of God's plan. To what? To perfect Christians. Praise God, praise God. Look what I found in Matthew right up here. In Matthew 5:10. Blessed. Say that with me at home. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, Even Christ was not spared from persecution. He wasn't. He wasn't. He had to be persecuted that we would get the glory in our day. He was persecuted, and now we are the results of his persecution. Oh, that's right. You see, this is where God wins. He died for us that we may live, where the devil thought he had us. You see, Satan thought he had all of humanity. Oh, but God did something beyond his thinking. Oh, that's right. Satan thought he had won. No, Jesus defeated him and took away death, hell, and the grave from him. Praise God. Look what else I found here in the book of Romans. Look at this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, instead of being bewildered by trials, Peter exhorted the believers to be very glad. Why? Because when they suffered for their faith in Christ, they were becoming partners with Christ in his suffering. Praise God. That's right. We're in partners with God in this. And if we suffer, it shows our identification with Christ. And it shows that our faith is genuine. Since Christ was persecuted, we also will be persecuted. And thereby, saints of God, participate in his suffering. Praise God. Now listen, if we persevere, we will enjoy our future inheritance with them. Praise God. Servants who know the suffering of Christ will have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory. How many want to share his glory? Oh, come on. Now, you have to keep in mind, this does not mean that all suffering is the result of good Christian conduct. Sometimes a person will grumble, like he's just picking on me because I'm a Christian, and it's obvious to everyone else that the person's own unpleasant behavior is the cause of his or her problems. You see, my friends, it may take careful thought or wise counsel to determine the real cause of our suffering. We can't be assured, however, you and I can always be assured that whenever we suffer because of our loyalty to Christ, he will be with us all the way. How many is so blessed to know that? All right. So let's move on to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. Look at this. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is what? Glorified. Glorified. Isn't that a blessing? Huh? Jesus had to take that away. He had to take all the punishment for us, that we would be walking testimonials, that we would now glorify God. Look what I found in Matthew 5. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. You see what Jesus is saying here? Rejoice. Say that with me at home. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were what? Before you. Before you. Look what else I found in Luke chapter 6. Look at this. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Wow. Rejoice. Say that with me at home again. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, Peter offered a specific example of the type of suffering the believers might face. To be insulted means to face verbal abuse, to be reviled, ridiculed, or even slandered. And not only will suffering believers find great joy when Christ returns, my friends, But the glorious Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, would come upon you and I, hallelujah, to give us joy unspeakable, to see us through, to empower us, to bless us, to let us know personally that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He is our shield and buckler. Hallelujah. He's the God that created you and I, and He will take care of you and I all the way till we cross the finish line. And the one thing I want to hear Him say is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You see, Christ will send His Spirit to strengthen those saints of God who are persecuted for their faith. Oh, that's right. Yes, He will. And how many of you already have been slandered for your faith? Spoke bad about your faith? Oh, come on. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. But rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Praise God. So now, let's move on to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters." Wow. Wow. Did you catch that, saints? You see, Peter has made, he has made the point that not all suffering results in blessings. If believers must suffer, it must be because of their faith, for that alone results in blessings. Oh, that's right. That's right. But let me just say this. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Oh, that's right. Sometimes we allow the flesh to rise up. But look, saints, before we got saved, we were operating in the works of the flesh. How many are so blessed to know that God has saved us, delivered us, and now we're heaven bound and a hell to shun? But the things that we once were entangled with, God has delivered us. Look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church. Let's look at this. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies. All this is the work of the flesh." Look at this, 21. "Envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Wow. Wow. That's a serious indictment from heaven. See, this is why, saints of God, you and I that are saved, we must continue to die to self. Because these works of the flesh are still active. They can be activated easily. The movie we saw come out in Jesus' name showed Christian oppression. Demons can still activate that flesh. Oh, that's right. Can't possess us because we're saved. We got the Holy Ghost. Our spirit is saved. But our flesh is not saved. And so, my friends, we need to be careful and take heed and stay close to the Lord. You see, Peter wrote that they ought not to be counted among those who murder, steal, do evil, or meddle in other people's matters. Such people, saints of God, deserve punishment and suffering they receive. And there is no blessing in such suffering. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 16 in 1 Peter chapter 4. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? Let me just say this. Something's out of order if you're ashamed of the gospel. If you are ashamed to share your faith, if you're ashamed to testify, if you're ashamed to just pray in Jesus' name, something is out of order. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us spiritual boldness to proclaim, to preach, to build up, to edify, to even rebuke if we have to. But let me just say this. Paul wrote it perfectly clear. Even though he was incarcerated, he was beaten, he was tortured, he was ridiculed, he was slandered for following Jesus. He said one thing that's so profound, and it needs to sink in with us. It's right here in Romans. Look at this. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul wrote and said, "For I am not," say that with me at home, "for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed." From what? From faith to faith. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Praise God. You see, saints, Peter reminded his readers that it was no shame to suffer for being a Christian. And while believers ought not to seek out suffering, neither they should try to avoid it. Instead, my friends, Peter admonished them to keep on doing what was right, regardless of the suffering it might bring. That's right. And that suffering, they could praise God for the privilege of being called by His wonderful name. As bearers of Christ and His name, Christians are representatives on this earth. Can I get an amen? Yes, we are. Therefore, in everything that you and I do, including what might seem like shameful suffering, we all can still glorify God and magnify Him. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 17. Look at this. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." This is where I got this topic. "And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" I want you to just read that one more time, saints, and let that one sink in. "For the time has come," look at this, "for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Wow. Wow. Put it this way, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I wouldn't want to be in their place. Listen, as a child of God, God has taken me several times to the whooping shed. Oh, that's right. To straighten my conduct. To keep me on the straight and narrow. Things that I might have said and done that was inappropriate, God will come and correct me. And you got to allow God to chastise you as well. Why? Because then if we don't allow Him to chastise us and we run away from it, we're considered illegitimate. In the King James Version, we would be called bastards, meaning without a parent. That's what that means. Wow. You see, saints, this time for judgment, it refers both to final judgment and also God's refining discipline. Oh, that's right. That's right. It's the discipline that He considers us and directs us and imposes upon us disciplinary action sometimes. Why? Because we still live in this body of flesh. And this body of flesh wars against the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Look what I found in Hebrews. Look at this. In Hebrews, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" You know what that means, saints of God? It's very clear. If you have children, or maybe had children, you just didn't let them run around amok, did you? There were times where they had to take a time out, and sometimes you had to take what? The board of education to the seat of their understanding. In other words, sometimes they had to get paddled. Oh, that's right. Why? Because if you spare the rod in Book of Proverbs, you'll spoil the child. So children do need discipline. Not beatings. Not being mean and cruel. But correct it when it's necessary. When it's meaningful. Oh, that's right. Some parents, oh, no, I can't do it. Well, you know what? That kid will grow up to take fully advantage of you and everyone else. But if you instruct discipline and mannerism into their life, they will grow up to be very productive and respectful, and they will honor everything that you have taught them. Praise God. Look what else I found right here in 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. We need to fear God. We need to love God and fear God. Praise God. You see, Peter warned that God judges all people according to their deeds. He also disciplines and judges his own children in order to refine them, as we've been teaching this. As Peter has explained, he explained many things. And this judgment purifies and strengthens believers, readying them for God's kingdom. But for those who have never believed God's good news, the judgment will be a terrible fate. It will. That's right. He will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That's going to be the white throne judgment mentioned in the book of Revelation, where all the unbelievers, all those who refused the love of God, who rejected Jesus, that will be cast in the lake of fire with the false prophet, with the Antichrist, and with Satan himself. Wow. Wow. Saints, this is a time to get close to God. Draw close to the Lord. Can I get an amen? Let's move on with this study. And verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Did you catch that, my friends? Where will they appear? You see, Peter was just reinforcing his rhetorical question. Peter continued by quoting several verses. And one of them was this one. Look at this in Proverbs 11:31. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, if you and I, which are called the righteous believers, experience difficulty in the refining process, how much more horrible will be the great disaster experienced for eternity? Eternity. By the godless and sinners who chose to reject Christ. Wow. They chose to basically to repudiate anything that was holy and awesome for them. Look what I found here in Philippians. Look at this. In Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Wow. Wow, my friends. The phrase barely saved means with difficulty. That's right. As believers, we're going to struggle. Not every day is a rose garden. And God never promised us a rose garden every day. Jesus said, if you suffer for my name's sake, great is your reward. Oh, that's right. There's suffering in this world. And we have to acknowledge that. Yes, we want to be blessed. Yes, we want to be prosperous. Yes, we want to have nice things. Yes, we want a good marriage. Yes, we want wonderful children. There's nothing wrong with all that. But there will be suffering as a believer. You see, my friends, Peter was not introducing uncertainty to the believers and their salvation. Instead, he was talking about the difficult road believers must travel. You see, my friends, it is not easy to be a Christian. We must count the cost. We must count the cost. When we got saved, God was teaching us from that early moment, our humble beginnings, to learn to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to break down our last verse of scripture, and it's found in verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And it reads, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, as to a what? Faithful Creator. There it is right there, my friends. We are to submit to the Lord. You see, with the word soul, Peter drew a conclusion to his words in the previous verses that we read. Peter consistently encourages readers that their suffering was all under God's control. Praise God. And if they suffered for the faith that God has given us, our faith, they were suffering according to God's will. That's right. And our suffering was not because God had lost control. Rather, all that happens to us believers is according to His will. How many are so blessed to know that? It's the will of God. So, my friends, while it is difficult to accept that one suffering is part of God's plan, we, you and I, can find comfort in understanding that as part of God's will, suffering has a reason, a goal, and an end. And for believers suffering, hallelujah, it is a purifying process for you and I to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, in times of suffering, my friends, believers must trust themselves to the Lord God who made them. And the word trust, all it means is to give over to someone for safekeeping. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He used the word on the cross. Oh, yes, He did. Look what He wrote here, what Luke wrote. He said, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Your hands I commend My spirit. Having said this, He breathed His last. Praise God. Praise God. He trusted that He would go into His Father's hands after He took His last breath. Wow. Wow. Can that be said of you? Can that be said of me? This also follows Christ's example, my friends. That's right. If the believers trusted themselves to be the one to know that God created us, then guess what? You and I have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Even in suffering, as Peter had admonished throughout his whole entire letter, the Christians must keep on doing what is right. We must continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And Peter often recommended doing good works, as a response to being persecuted. And Paul also recommended this response. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Let's look what Paul wrote to in the book of Romans. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Praise God. Look at this. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, if the believers would do good, even in the face of injustice, they would reveal that they truly had entrusted themselves to the Lord God Almighty, and that they were suffering for their faith alone, which is commendable before God, and that their attitude toward suffering might draw others to faith as well. You see, my friends, God created the world, and He has faithfully ordered it and kept it ever since the creation and the beginning of time. Why? Because we know that God is faithful, and we know that He will what? Never fail us. Praise God. And if God can oversee the forces of nature, surely He can see us through the trials we face. We must never doubt, must never, never, never doubt His loving concern for us, or His ability, my friends, to rescue us in the time of need. Because we're going to need Him soon and very soon. Oh, that's right. My friends, this is not to bring fear to you, but God has shown me in visions and dreams that there is war coming. There's war coming. And we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be praying, my friends. We need to do the best that we can to win others to Christ. Right now, all the nations are angry. There's so many wars around the world right now, and there's war coming here. My friends, this is time now. Not to be playing church, but to be the church. This is why, if you get an opportunity to see the movie we saw last night, Come Out in Jesus' Name, you'll understand the time that we live in. This country needs a spiritual awakening. This country needs Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior and to be high and lifted up. This country was established on the Word of God. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, was all by men of God. My friends, we're in dire need, and Jesus is about to return. He's going to have the angels blow the shofar, and soon and very soon, He's going to take the church home. But until then, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to win others to Christ. We need to preach and teach. We need to raise people up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We need to draw together. We need to come together in the body of Christ. Never separated, never alone, but to come together as one. And watch God do the miraculous in our life. Maybe you're watching for the first time, second time, third time, I don't know. And maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know, number one, that God loves you and He wants to save you. And all the family of God, the Amazing Grace family that's logged in right now, I'm going to ask every one of you to pray with me, to pray for them. For someone there right now that's watching that never given the heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may receive God. And so, here's your opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your life. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And oh God, I repent of my sins. I turn from my sin. I'm sorry for my sin. My sin is horrible. And you have shown me my sin before me. Oh Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. Listen, somebody just got saved. And if you got saved, look, down below is our banner. Log on to our website, our email, our phone number's there. Reach out to us. Let us know that you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. We'll send them out by mail, or we'll invite you to our church and give you one. But this is time now to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I am so very thankful for each and every one of you that have logged in this evening to expound with me the scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. By God's grace, next week, we'll be in chapter 5. I believe it's the final chapter. And then we go to the next book, which is 2 Peter. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you this benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're having a special guest come in again to play the saxophone, and we all love him. Brother Melvin Patterson will be with the worship team. Come on, don't miss out. It's going to be a wonderful time of worship, and pray that God will have a word for me to deliver to you. And that's only by God's grace. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California at 10 a.m. May the Lord bless you this evening. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.